suicide was front-page news in San Francisco newspapers. That morning, the FBI office in San Francisco cabled J. Edgar Hoover a summary of what had been reported in the papers. The cable concluded, "No direct action will be taken by this office due possible unfavorable publicity. Direct inquiries will be made discreetly in view of a lapse of time, and Bureau will be advised." In the years since, a number of historians and journalists have speculated about Tatlock's suicide. According to the coroner, Tatlock had eaten a full meal shortly before her death. If it was her intention to drug and then drown herself, as a doctor she had to have known that undigested food slows the metabolizing of drugs into the system. The autopsy report contains no evidence that the barbiturates had reached her liver or other vital organs. Neither does the report indicate whether she had taken a sufficiently large dose of barbiturates to cause death. To the contrary, as previously noted, the autopsy determined that the cause of death was asphyxiation by drowning. These curious circumstances are suspicious enough, but the disturbing information contained in the autopsy report is the assertion that the coroner found a faint trace of chloral hydrate in her system. If administered with alcohol, chloral hydrate is the active ingredient of what was then commonly called a Mickey Finn, knockout drops. In short, several investigators have speculated Jean may have been slipped a Mickey and then forcibly drowned in her bathtub. The coroner's report indicated that no alcohol was found in her blood. The coroner, however, did find some pancreatic damage, indicating that Tatlock had been a heavy drinker. Medical doctors who have studied suicides and read the Tatlock autopsy report say that it is possible she drowned herself. In this scenario, Tatlock could have eaten the last meal with some barbiturates to make herself sleepy and then self-administered chloral hydrate to knock herself out while kneeling over the bathtub. If the dose of chloral hydrate was large enough, Tatlock could have plunged her head into the bathtub water and never revived. She then would have died from asphyxiation. Tatlock's psychological autopsy fits the profile of a high-functioning individual suffering from retarded depression. As a psychiatrist working in a hospital, Jean had easy access to potent sedatives, including chloral hydrate. On the other hand, said one doctor shown the Tatlock records, "If you were clever and wanted to kill someone, this is the way to do it." Some investigators, as well as Jean's brother, Dr. Hugh Tatlock, have continued to question the bizarre nature of Jean's death. In 1975, they became increasingly suspicious of the conclusion that she had committed suicide after the U.S. Senate's Church Committee hearings on CIA assassination plots were made public. One of the star witnesses was none other than the irrepressible Boris Pasch, who had not only directed the wiretapping of Jean's phone, but had also proposed to interrogate Weinberg, Lomanitz, Bohm, and Friedman in the Russian manner and then dispose of their bodies at sea. Pasch served from 1949 through 1952 as the CIA's chief of Program Branch 7, PB-7, a special operations unit within the Office of Policy Coordination, the original CIA clandestine service. Pasch's boss, the director of operations planning for OPC, told the Senate investigators that Colonel Pasch's Program Branch 7 unit was responsible for assassinations and kidnapping, as well as other special operations. Pasch denied that he had been delegated responsibility for assassinations, but acknowledged that it was understandable that others in the CIA could have had the impression that my unit would undertake such planning. Former CIA officer E. Howard Hunt, Jr. told the New York Times on December 26, 1975, that in the mid-1950s, he had been informed by his superiors that Boris T. Pasch was in charge of a special operations unit responsible for the assassination of suspected double agents and similar low-ranking officials. Despite the CIA's claim that it had no records dealing with assassinations, the Senate Committee staff investigation concluded that Pasch's unit was indeed assigned responsibility for assassinations and kidnappings. It was documented, for example, that while working in the CIA's Technical Services Division in the early 1960s, Pasch was involved in the attempt to design poison cigars destined for Fidel Castro. Clearly, Colonel Boris Pasch, a veteran anti-Bolshevik turned counterintelligence officer, had all the credentials requisite for an assassin in a Cold War spy novel. But despite his colorful resume, no one has produced evidence linking him to Tatlock's death. Indeed, by January 1944, Pash had been transferred to London. Jean's unsigned suicide note suggests that she died by her own hand, a paralyzed soul. And this is certainly what Oppenheimer always believed.